Well, it's Laetare Sunday, as you can tell from the vestments, and a little reprieve from the Lenten practice, and a little rejoicing. And we've got the gospel with the multiplication of the loaves and fishes as a kind of prefiguration of the Eucharist. And at the end it says, this is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world. And lately I've been examining somewhat more closely the theology surrounding the Eucharist, which we take for granted. We're here today, we're going to receive the Blessed Sacrament. We know it's the body and blood of Christ. But sometimes we kind of leave it there, which is a very good place to leave it, of course. But because it's offered so regularly, we can get a little pedestrian about it. We can get a little easygoing about the Eucharist in a certain way. The sublimity of the Eucharist over all the other sacraments, right, is evident since it is not merely an instrument of God's grace, but it contains substantially Christ, the source of grace himself. And all the other sacraments are subordinated to the Eucharist as their final object. It is said the Eucharist is an island of solid rock or sacraments surrounded by a sea of mystery of faith, because there's so much mystery surrounding it. So today, I'm going to tell you, you got to buckle in. I'm going to give you a little bit of theology on the Eucharist along the way. It's going to be a little bit of a theological homily at 7:30 in the morning after daylight savings time. So I'm throwing it all at you at once. So hang in there with me. So presence, sacrifice, communion. And presence, the presence of Christ in the sacrament. It is a substantial change, which means Christ becomes present in the sacrament of the altar by the change of the whole substance of the bread into his body and of the whole substance of the wine into his blood. So it's a substantial change completely. It's done by transubstantiation, a very technical term, but a very descriptive, accurate term. Thomas defined the act of conversion of transubstantiation as the reproduction theory of the body and blood of Christ under the sacramental forms. The same body initially produced from the Virgin Mary, which is now in heaven, Christ's body glorified, is by a new activity of God produced from the substance of bread and wine. It remains a mystery, but no definite solution is possible. Now the accidents, right? The accidents remain of bread and wine in the species. The continuation of the accidents of bread and wine without a subject is made possible by the divine omnipotence, which is the primary cause, takes the place of the missing secondary cause. The accidents of bread and wine, the dimensive quality, is miraculously preserved in being immediately by God, with other accidents entering in the dimensive quantity as their proximate subject. So, substantial change by transubstantiation, the accidents remain, and there's a totality aspect to the Eucharist. The body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ, is contained in the Eucharist. So the whole Christ is present under each of the species. The body of Christ is present under the form of bread, and the blood of Christ is present under the form of wine by the power of the words of consecration. What that means is, when I consecrate the Eucharist later, the effect of the consecration is that there's the body of Christ under the bread, there is the blood of Christ under the form of wine through that act. Now what about the soul and divinity? By natural, very technical term, by natural concomitance, that is on account of the real connection between the body and blood of Christ, his blood and soul are also present with the body of Christ under the form of bread, and he is a living body. And on the ground of hypostatic union, his divinity is also present via supernatural concomitance. So similarly, under the form of wine, besides his blood, Christ's body and soul and divinity are also present by concomitance. And finally, for this presence, the mode of being. The mode of being of the body of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament is the mode of being of created spirits, similar to that of the soul in the body. So that's presence, rather technical, rather theological, on an early morning. But it's good to remind ourselves of this once in a while, that there's a depth of theology regarding the Eucharist. Now, sacrifice. In the sacrifice of the Mass, Christ's sacrifice on the cross is made sacramentally present, right? This is a common problem out there. People tend to think of the Mass as the liturgy of the word, right, the gospel, with a delivery mechanism for the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. It's liturgy of the word, and I receive Holy Communion. In between that is the sacrifice of God the Son to God the Father. The sacrament, nourishment of the soul, we receive the sacrament and communion, and sacrifice, where Christ is offered as a sacrificial gift to God of the Eucharist, are performed by the same act of consecration, by the very same Eucharistic prayer. Both things occur, but they're conceptually distinct. The Holy Mass is a true and proper sacrifice, as we stated. It is a sacrament in him who receives the body and blood, and the effect of a sacrifice in him who offers it, or in those for whom it is offered. So before you come up for communion and receive the sacrament, you're busy doing something else. You're offering to God the Father the sacrifice of God the Son through the consecration by me, the priest, in the Eucharistic prayer. As it said, is the sacrament in him who receives it, and the effect of a sacrifice in him who offers it, or in those for whom it is offered. Now, we'll get into a little mind game here. The sacrifice of the cross on Calvary is an absolute sacrifice, as it is neither the commemoration of a past sacrifice nor the archetype of a future sacrifice. The sacrifice of the Mass is a relative sacrifice, as it is essentially linked to the sacrifice of the cross, but it is still a true and proper sacrifice. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas, this is the mind game. St. Thomas Aquinas, part 3, question 81, goes into an interesting little scenario. See if you can follow this. St. Thomas maintains that if an apostle had consecrated the species, the Eucharistic species, at the actual moment of Christ's dying, Christ is dying on the cross, and one of the apostles is saying Mass, right? Or if the consecrated elements had been preserved during the whole drama of Christ's agony on the cross, imagine the Last Supper, they put the remainder into a tabernacle and remains there during the sacrifice of the cross. So the whole drama of Christ's agony on the cross. There would have been real suffering and real death in the Blessed Sacrament then, but without external violence. He can die in the sacrament, but can't suffer violence. This shows the great truth that if there are changes in Christ's state under the Eucharistic form, such changes are not the result of the sacramental immolation, but they are anterior to it. We offer up at the altar the body and blood such as we find them. At the Last Supper, the Eucharist was the sacramental representation of the mortal Christ. On Holy Saturday, the Eucharist would be the sacramental representation of the dead Christ. On Easter Sunday and following, the Eucharist is a sacramental representation of the immortal, glorified Christ. The sacrificial victim and the primary sacrificing priest, Christ, in the sacrifice of the Mass are numerically identical with the sacrifice of the cross. However, the outward sacrificial action is numerically and specifically distinct. Unbloody on the altar, bloody in the real separation of the body and blood of Christ on the sacrifice of Calvary. You know, at Mass, you consume the resurrection. That's worthy of a lot of contemplation, right? the resurrected Christ. You await your resurrection, God willing, in the future, right? You consume the resurrected Christ now. So in a few moments, the resurrection will come into you. It's a lot for contemplation. As we celebrate the Eucharist today, we recall the greatness of this sacrament, how easy it is to take it for granted. And in a time of Lent, it would be a very worthy penance, penitential practice, to spend time in reflection on it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.